This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. It's Wednesday morning, February the 3rd, and it is time for another one of those special podcasts. This one being a little unique in that a longtime member and subscriber here at TFMR reached out to me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I've got a guy I've gotten to know over the wires, and he seems like a really good guy. And I've looked at his company, and it just seems like a fantastic silver exploration company. And if you're interested in talking to him, I can help set that up. And so I sniffed around and looked into it, and I thought, yeah, this does sound interesting. And so with that, I reached out to John Lee. He is the CEO and chairman of a company called Silver Elephant Mining Corp. And they have volunteered to sponsor this podcast so that we can draw some attention to the company, get you familiar with the company over the course of the next 20 minutes or so. So, John, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Hey, Craig, good to be on your show for the first time.
Yeah, it's great to make your acquaintance. And it's, again, I think a fascinating time, obviously, in the precious metals, in commodities in general, silver specifically with what has taken place this last week. Before we get into Silver Elephant and all you've got going for you, I mean, I just, as a CEO of a silver company, I'd be remiss if I didn't get your thoughts on just what we've seen in the past week with the first, the kind of the Reddit attention to silver, but then this massive, incredible, at least in the US and Canada, this incredible demand that has cleaned out not only the retailers, but the wholesalers. What do you make of all this?
Well, Craig, just when you thought you haven't seen, you've seen it all, you see something new. I was really thoroughly impressed of the buying power of Reddit and just the social media. But I think it's all, I try to offer a bit of thought, food for thoughts that you don't hear from other people, Craig. Yeah. But from the institution front, if Silver Elephant, I probably met over 1,000 institution investors. You do these roadshows at 7 meetings a day over a week period for 10 years already. There has been a steady shift in terms of the investment theme from just, you know, investor base, moving away from centralized institution, research funds, mutual funds, of which, you know, my dad used to plow through research report from Morgan Stanley back 30 years ago, and now to a decentralized model where people are doing due diligence, people have a grain of salt on sort of just in they're like to DIY. And this recent phenomenon of GameStop and Silver Squeeze is a very good example of that. And I think we're going to see more of it in the future, where people are starting doing own due diligence for their own good and discover investment opportunities that had not been presented one way or the other by their trusted advisors for whatever reason.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're right. It has been remarkable to see it happen, and the power of the internet, right? To get us all connected and kind of rowing the boat in the same direction. You've got such an interesting company there. Before we do anything, I remember, I guess it was maybe last year sometime, you know, I do these weekly podcasts with Eric Sprott, and they got very popular last year, you know, as the shares were rolling. And the name started to come up. People wanted to ask us about Silver Elephant. And I thought, what in the world? How did you come up with that name?
Yeah, Craig, the name, because the name is a symbolic of the mandate the company's pursuing, which is discovering massive silver resources in the ground. Our company's expertise identify, negotiate, close properties that has potential to for major discoveries. And secondly, the elephant is very noble. We look at, see, there's the whale in one of our projects called Suna Whale. And we just thought the silver elephant, the elephant represents size and also noble. That is a noble, symbol.
I like
and,
it.
And so combine the two together. This, the, we have the name. Initially, we had some pushback. I said, whoever be seriously investing about the company's name called Silver Elephant? Well, I said 10 years ago, it's just so catchy and rememberable, right? Memorable. Right. Because I said, hey, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the only oil company I remember having invested is called Painted Pony. And well, somebody can call themselves a painted pony, why couldn't I call myself Silver Elephant?
I like it. No, you're right. That's an important part of branding. I mean, all the rest of them, you know, Silver Exploration Corp, you know, and all this other stuff. I mean, you're going to remember Silver Elephant. And
well, you know what, Craig, to be honest, people say, oh, such a tacky name. I said, really? Well, how is Royal Gold not tacky, right?
Right.
Or how is one silver or two silver or three silver ones? Come on. So I thought that the name is unique, catchy, and noble, represents the size of the projects that we're gunning for, even though there's no elephants in South America, which is our focus. Nonetheless.
Good point. Well, let's go there. As everybody knows, if you've been on this site for a while, it was beaten into my head over the last 10 years that two of the main things you've always got to assess in a mining company is the people behind it and where they're doing business. Because if the people behind it have had success before, then you feel like, yeah, they know what they're doing. There's a pretty good chance they're going to have success again. So let's start, though. You mentioned South America. Let's start with the jurisdiction part. Tell everybody about where you primarily operate and some of the projects there.
Yeah, correct. We operate in a country called Bolivia. It's in Central South America. It's right beneath Colombia. Well, it joins 6-7 countries. So it's a landlocked country, borders Argentina, Chile, Peru, and Colombia and Brazil, and the Paraguay. It is the sixth largest, despite lack of foreign investment, because of the rhetoric, some of the rhetorics from the prior administration and government. The country is actually still the sixth largest silver producer in the world that shares this the same silver trend with Argentina and produce more silver, in fact, than Argentina. It hosts the second largest silver open pit deposit today called Sumitomo, operated by San Cristobal. So-called San Cristobal, operated by Sumitomo. And it also hosts arguably the largest silver deposit based on historical production called Cerro Rico, over 1.5 billion ounces of silver. And the mine we are exploring today is called Pulacayo, Silver Elephant. And Pulacayo is on record probably the largest underground silver mine and the second largest silver mine based on historical production. It's the silver from Pulacayo that financed the railway to Antofagasta, Chile. And it was the silver from Pulacayo that helped the Spaniard conquer the world back in the 1800s.
All right. And I, if I saw on their website, I mean, yeah, there's massive silver deposits down there. And you're not far from Pan American Silver and that other mine that you mentioned.
Yeah, it's in a district called Potosi. It hosts, even today in the region, there's still active over, well, about 40 million ounces of production annually. So you have Pan American Silver to the southwest, whom I visited, Sumitomo to the northwest. And then you also have Silver Sands to the northeast, and you have a number of other companies that are operating in the region.
And I've seen so far maybe 50 million ounces, but you're targeting. You think you can get a lot more than that, correct?
Well, correct. 50 million ounces was 2 years ago. We're up to 120 already today, and that is just from the Pulacayo deposit. Elephant had a complete changeover. First of all, we changed our name. And secondly, we embarked on a frenzy acquisition, the busiest year on the company history last year. We acquired two more projects. One is called Triunfo. That's a gold and silver project, open pit, thick bulk tonnage. And we drilled a maiden hole last year of 95 meters of 1.5 grams gold and silver, and some lead and zinc. And the other project, which we're super, totally excited about, is a project called Sunawayo. And that is a 60 square kilometer land package that literally borders another project called Melcocota. And Melcocota has a deposit called Melcocota Deposit. And that's a silver deposit of over 300 million ounces. Hmm. And that deposit literally sits 200 meters from the Sunawayo border. And we are drilling Sunawayo right now. And our overall mandate, Craig, just in short, is to prove up to 300 million ounces of silver in the next potentially 2021. And that will be coming from a combination of Pulacayo expansion, which sits 120, and drilling and developing resources at Sunawayo, which the drills is turning on hole number 7. The assays will be out in a couple of weeks. The project's never been drilled before. And then also from Ultra Info, of which we're developing those resources. So of all together, and then looking at additional acquisitions that we see that are compatible. Myself is a chartered financial analyst. M&A is our forte, Craig.
All right. Now, I'm also, as folks know, here at TFMR, I'm excited about commodities in general. Right, with a weakening dollar, and gosh, some of the charts, long-term commodity charts, are looking pretty positive. We're not just solely talking silver here. You got a little nickel and zinc and some other metals too.
Correct. Lead and zinc is a byproduct of silver, from the silver deposit. So these projects in Bolivia, they're actually pretty silver dominant at around 50% of the overall mix. But clearly, of course, if silver price would go to 30 from 30 from the 20s to say the 50s, then that mix is going to go to silver's favor to around 70% versus 30% base metal. The company, Craig, I would say if it's a little different from the other traditional exploration companies where my background is actually from high tech back in the 90s. And I stumbled onto junior investment by accident when I holiday vacation in Vancouver 20 years ago. And the story went from there and branched from being an investor, which is did very well, to becoming running a company, mining company, because the 30, 50 companies that I manage all went pretty much belly up in the 2009 financial crisis. So in blink of an eye, Craig, it's been 10 years. The company survived. We've raised over $100 million in the process and acquired a spinoff, probably over 10 projects in overall. And I think specifically, Craig, to talk about the most recent acquisition we made, it's a nickel project. Of course, it's all got to do with batteries. But before, branching into nickel, I think it's really to talk about the philosophy. And we traded 14 million shares on Monday, which is 10% of the float. It's $1 million traded. So the company has a lot of visibility and liquidity. And the reason is I think there are three matrix that the company or myself goes into when we're looking at an acquisition. I think first of all is, what are we paying today and what this project is worth, say, 18 months from now? And to assess that, we got to look at the underlying commodity metal, right? The outlook on that. And then also looking at the resource expansion potential of the project itself. So the second thing, so in this case, we just recently acquired the nickel project. We think it has 1 billion pounds of nickel in the ground in a very safe jurisdiction. It's fully permitted. Feasibility study, over $60 million spent on it, of which we are getting for $20 million. And we think that in 18 months, the project could be worth $200 million or more. And when Elon Musk tell you to mine nickel, the richest white guy in the world and the smartest guy in the world, guess what, Craig? You look for nickel, you mine nickel.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And the second thing is Craig, I don't look at talk about price tag. I don't necessarily look at the price tag from an absolute dollar perspective, but rather, Craig, I look at, because we're issuing shares and we're raising money by issuing shares, so I'm looking at for dilution. So the way I look at it is, hey, look, if we were to get this project into the mix, is the project worth 10 or 20 or 30% of the dilution that I'm going to hit, right? So, Craig, I'm now looking at, because a dollar is a relative concept. A lot of things, commodities move. You say they're volatile, but except it's a dollar that people have an issue with valuing the dollar. So I don't anchor the valuation from dollar per se, Craig, but rather I say, hey, look, this transaction would account for about 20, 25% of the share, about just under 20% of the shares we're going to issue in shares and cash. Is this project worth 20% of our existing portfolio, right? And the answer was is yes. Not only that, but also offers a bit of diversification in geographical wise. And so therefore, we felt like it was a terrific acquisition. And then third is, how are we going to finance and can we afford it? And then how is the public going to perceive this? It was a bit of a struggle because we had to raise a bit of money to do that. And we've got concerns from shareholders. But however, overriding theme is the first parameter, which is, we believe it's a 10 bagger, and that's what we all after. It was not some exploration project out in Finland, of which we are just doing it for the fun of it, Craig.
Well, and again, you talk about using shares as your currency and knowing that dilutes the base, but still, tell everybody what your market cap is.
We are at about 190 million shares at about 40, 50 cents, just under $100 million market cap.
Yeah.
We have tremendous liquidity. The company traded 45 million shares, about 25% of our float on a monthly basis. And in January, we're going to smash a record. Potentially, the entire company's turnover is going to be turnover, partly because we had a bit of a long history. So there is a bit of legacy shares in the past. We have a very strong institution support just recently from Sprott Capital. Eric Sprott is a shareholder. as well as Canaccord on the retail distribution and Mackey's, and a lot of the other bankers are we're also on the radar screen of a lot of other bankers. The goal for this year, coming year, correct, in addition to proving up resources in the ground, is to open up institution coverage, and we aim to have at least two, if not three, research analysts that cover our stock before the end of the year.
So again, on that metric, which is one of my favorites, you look at, you know, whether it's deemed to be expensive or inexpensive, relatively speaking, I like that market cap. That certainly tells me there's a lot of upside to go, especially if you prove up 300 million ounces like you're talking about. John, let's begin to wrap up, though, by talking about that team, because, again, that's always important. Tell me some of the guys and gals you brought along with you on this ride.
Yeah, Craig, we're very undervalued relative to our peers. Doesn't matter what matrix you use on a per ounce basis, on a dollar per ounce basis, on jurisdiction, our neighbors, et cetera. And Craig, we're undervalued because people believe we don't have a pedigree management, such as myself, who didn't come from Inco or from Barrick or Newmont.
Right.
But you know what? We're refreshing. We sort of do our research ourselves. We build our company from the ground up. We are exploration focused, Craig. So we're not about production or engineering or designing a mine. Yep. We have six geologists full-time on staff, including two qualified geologists. One is from Falcon Bridge Inco, which fits nicely to our nickel project. And the other one is from Hecla, which is silver. So mm-hmm. We look for guys that we are compatible, have good chemistry working together. And then we're six geologists on staff. We have a very good track record in fundraising. And Craig, you know, I joined this running a company, switched to the other side in 2010, and rolled this commodity down market, right? So we're swimming against the tide. We made a lot of acquisition, our good projects. We accumulated a lot of good knowledge on what to look for. And so we haven't really had a sort of smashing success, but we did have a lot of people. We made a lot of people rich as they trade our stock. You know, our market cap oscillated between 30 million to 500 million. So obviously a lot of people made a lot of money. Commodity is all about timing, and we believe that there is a big commodity wave coming in the next 2 to 3 years. And we are, Craig, uber aggressive in getting good project with sizable project that can scalable. And that's we're uber aggressive on that front. And all of our dollars is going into finding and growing and buying resources in the ground. And one other thing was we also have we don't have any engineering people on staff because we're not putting in mining production, but we have an excellent vice president of environment and sustainability. So what we're doing is package the project, grow the resources, de-risk the project in permitting, and then eventually when we think the metal prices are 20% from the top, which we think right now is only 20% from the bottom, then we can start that mating process and figure out what the exit strategies are.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. If someone listening to this is confident in the direction of silver, the monetary metals, the commodities, the industrial metals, for the year that you've got planned, and if we're right about, you know, where prices are headed over the next 12 and 18 months, this starts to really get intriguing. So, you know, everybody's got to do their own due diligence and research. I suppose it starts at the website for Silver Elephant Mining. We'll put that link on this page so you can go there and click around. The symbols, tell me if I got this right. John, we got ELEF in Canada and SILEF in the US. Does that sound right?
Yes. And follow us. I have a pretty good Twitter following. I do a lot of tweets, provide quite a bit of insights. And secondly, Craig, the management owns collectively over 10% of the stock. So we have good alignment between shareholder interest and the management.
You bet. You bet. And anything else you can recommend? Go to the website. Maybe there's some investor presentations there. Other things you think people should check out?
Yeah, we'll have a presentation, video presentation. We have Twitter. We do have a lot of charts. I put a lot of charts on my Twitter. Hey, Craig, just one last point. You know, sure. This GameStop thing really opened my eyes. Because you have this active suppression by the hedge funds that somewhat colluded with the authorities to try to cover their short position. And it made me open my eyes to think about, hey, look, if they would do that even for a teeny few billion dollar stock, why wouldn't they take silver out of the ETFs and short the market? Right. There's a lot of talk about gold. I don't think it's any question about that with the GLD. Commingling of custodian assets to lend it to commercial banks to go that with the physicals going to smash in the market. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised at all that they do that for silver. In fact, I would be surprised if they're not doing it right now, which means that the guys are really should be for silver investors should be looking at two things, right? First of all, buy physical. That's the way that you can ensure that you maximize your gains, because it's entirely possible they can hold the GLD, they can hold the IAU, they hold the ETF, redeem your metal holdings with cash, and the only way is hold the physical. That's the only way you can survive. The other thing, correct, is of course, go after the junior, the mining company, either producer or junior with good resource endowment, so that you have these ounces under your ownership and not to be exchanged for fiat at the whim of the authorities, Craig.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. The only way we're going to force an issue here is through physical acquisition. And we just want people to keep accumulating it. No, got to hold it in your own two hands. And hey, you know, worst case, if price doesn't just, you know, scream higher from here, anybody that takes some dollars and exchanges it for physical precious metal, you're going to be glad you have it in the years to come. So it's really a win-win, isn't it, John?
Craig, you put it to bed. Like I don't even know how many thousands of ounces I have now. I don't count it. And right. I bought it in 2005, no, 2007, maybe at the top of the market at that time at $16 an ounce, I remember. And, you know, I didn't sweat it. I didn't, you know, sleep over that. I didn't sell at 50. It's just something you put it away like insurance policy premium. You just chip it away on monthly, put it in a safe deposit box. Well, if you have a home, then you can paint it as your doorstop, as I hear some people say, if you don't feel safe about your bank.
No, that's right. Well, John, you're a great guy to have on our side, obviously, and I appreciate all that you do. And I'm really intrigued by your company. I'm not a shareholder yet, because I wanted to speak to you and I want to, you know, kick the tires and all that kind of stuff, which of course we encourage everyone to do before making any investment. John, I'm really hope we can keep in touch in the months ahead as you journey along through 2021 and prove up more and more silver, and hopefully the price rises as well. And we have a fun ride. It's been great visiting with you. Anything else you want to add before we go?
Yeah, Craig, you know, like at the top of the show, we mentioned about crowd investing, and I love the idea. I love direct interactions. No shareholders, big or small, are they all the same to us? We spend the same amount of time to go through the discovery journals together. Look forward to be back on your show again very soon.
Great. John, thank you so much for your time this morning. Again, this has been John Lee, CEO and chairman of Silver Elephant Mining Corp. Company to keep an eye on, John. Been great visiting with you. Let's do it again soon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And from all of us here at TFMR, thanks for listening. We'll have another podcast like this sometime in the near future.